background of St. John Bosco, that actually his father, Francis Bosco, married two times. You know, the first wife, Maria Bosco, died quite young with their son, Anthony Bosco. And because Anthony Bosco is so hard to handle, you know, being Anthony, you know what it is, you know, so hard to handle. So Francis Bosco married Margaret in order to have, you know, somebody to really help him to look after Anthony. And so Margaret Mary gave birth to Joseph Bosco in the year 1813 and St. John Bosco in the year 1815. But Anthony is still a really difficult child to handle because he was quite jealous of his two brothers, especially when he realized that the inheritance would be reduced by two-thirds, you know. So he beat up his brother, you know, and but Mother Margaret was really a powerful, wonderful woman. She would never use corporal punishment on Anthony, but would always, you know, using a lot of persuasion and kindness to train Anthony. So even though he has, as a teenage boy, he gave a lot of trouble to the Bosco family, eventually as an adult man, Anthony became a really more mellow, is it called mellow? Yeah. Person, you know, just like me, you know, when I was a teenage boy, it was more difficult to handle, you know. Now it's like you can punch on me and I won't fight back, you know. Not the case though, as anyhow. So, you know, Anthony was had a reputation of being a good, cheerful person and trustworthy and really respected by people as an adult man, but as a teenage boy, it was so difficult to handle. More drama to come, you know, that will be next time. But but you know, Margaret did have a wonderful way, beautiful. Hello, Susan. Long time no see. And you bring Clara with you?
Yes.
Ah, little Clara is here too.
Hello.
Hello, Clara. Long time no see. So Margaret would always teach the boy, you know, God see you all the time. So she would always remind the boys about the presence of God, and also taught them how to pray, make them pray in the morning, in the evening. In those days, for Catholic family, it's really common to have the rosary as evening prayer. So that's St. John Bosco wrote, from my earliest years, she would teach me the prayers herself. She would make me kneel with my brothers, and all together we would recite the morning and the night prayers. And she also prepared St. John Bosco for his first confession. And St. John Bosco wrote, it was my mother who prepared me. She accompanied me to church. She went to confession before me and introduced me to the confessor. Later, she helped me make an act of thanksgiving. Now, St. John Bosco learned a lot of precious lessons at home. Remember last time I talked about a little story about a little so-called ghost story. They went to a dinner and they heard the noise, you know, upstairs, you know, and then everybody was scared. All the women were making the sign of the cross, and St. John Bosco wasn't afraid. He was calm. And he went up there, all the people scared, and then eventually he just put the thing away, and it was a chicken, you know, a hand chicken inside. So it wasn't a ghost. And then Mother Margaret just grabbed the chicken and said, now let's kill it so that it won't get scared us anymore. So they got a good meal that evening. So,
yum.
Yeah, so that's Margaret really taught John Bosco. Now, Margaret was a woman, you know, she is potentially can be a saint because she was already venerable, declared by Pope Benedict XVI to be venerable in the year 2006. And she would serve the sick in the neighborhood. She would welcome the beggar. She would also support the poor. Now, one of the neighbor, he used to be a wealthy man, but then he just, you know, spent all his wealth, you know, wasted. And so he became the laughing stock of the neighbor. The boys laugh at him. The mothers say, look at this guy, you know, before he was so rich, now he's so poor. Don't imitate him. That example. So laughing stock for everybody in the village. And so the poor man, sometimes he would go hungry, but because he was too ashamed to ask for help, he would just go hungry without asking for anything from anybody. But Margaret knew, you know, so she would actually leave hot soup outside on the window, and the man at night time, he would just come and get it and went back home. Because dark, nobody see what he was doing. And so Margaret would help him that way, so he still have that self-esteem. And then another incident was, there was a young boy. He was almost like the same age of John Bosco, and he was helping his master to lead the cow to a pasture. And every morning, the master would give him a piece of a black bread, hard, you know, black bread. And John Bosco, at the same time, also got a piece of white bread from his mom, soft, not hard. So in those days, you know, nowadays, I know people are a bit different, you know, with health concern, different things. But in those days, white bread considered a luxury. So people like to eat white bread, soft, not the hard black bread. So when the two boys met, John Bosco would ask the other boy, "Will you do me a favor?" And so what is that you want me to do? "Let's swap our bread. I think yours tastes better than mine." That was what John Bosco said. So the boy, you know, thinking he really believed that, you know, John Bosco really wanted to taste his bread, and then he liked the white bread, so okay, no problem. So for like 3 seasons, every day when they met, they always exchanged bread. Only later on, when the young boy grew up as an adult, he reflect back on those days. He believed it's not because he liked the taste, it's because John Bosco had that spirit of mortification and sacrifice that he asked to exchange bread every time they met. And also sometimes the outlaws would knock on the door of Margaret. And all they want is a warm soup and perhaps a corner where the hay were. He was able to just have a good sleep. Have some rest. The interesting thing is that, you know, the police who are chasing after them also would knock on the door, and Margaret also welcomed them and also give them something to eat. So when the outlaw upstairs heard the police coming, they would just slip away. But the police, even though they knew what's going on, they would never arrest anybody in Margaret's presence or in her house, because they respect her. So from most of the puzzle, you know, police, outlaw, you know, what's going on. And Margaret told St. John Bosco, you know, at first, it was the soldiers of the Democratic Party who was after those who remained faithful to the king. And then later on, the other way around, the police of the king are chasing after the Democrats. So he said later on, it would change back again. So when anybody asked for help, Margaret would just give them a slice of a bread, bowl of soup, would never ask them which party they belong to. For her, he doesn't care. You know, a person need help, she help. So later on, as a priest, John Bosco would have that conviction that politics are quite, you know, irrelevant. He wanted to build his life on more solid principle. Like souls to be saved, poor boys to be fed and to be educated. And he would call those the policy of the Our Father. So he would not get into politics. He would not get into politics. just came to mind one thing. I don't know if I will eventually put that into the article, but just an incident as an adult, John Bosco. Because at that time there were some politicians, they want to glorify the person of Pope Pius IX. You know, it's Blessed Pius IX, because of some of the policy that he made, maybe more favorable to their party, political point of view. So they want to have people say, long life, Pius the Ninth, something like that. But John Bosco can see through those conspiracy. So he will always train the people, no, don't say that long life of Pius the Ninth. We are honoring the person of Christ, you know, long life the Pope is what you should say. Not the person, but the office. Long life the Pope. So one time when there was a politician, he was giving a speech. At the end, he would say, long life Pius the Ninth. And all the students shouted, long life the Pope. And then he was shocked, you know. John Bosco trained the boy really well, able to make fine distinction. You know, you don't set up one Pope against another. But you know, because he is the Pope, you honor him as the Pope. So John Bosco always go beyond the politics, and for him, you know, that's not important. What is important is the more solid principle of saving souls, of helping the poor. And now, when I prepared the talk today, I thought about two kinds of animals, you know, the birds and the sheep. We'll get into that now. John Bosco, as a young boy, he really loved birds. That's really his passion. He loved birds so much. You know, I was looking at the Chinese biography. I have no clue what kind of bird they are talking about. I cannot make the translation properly. But I will try my best to just have a little bit of the story. So, I don't even know the Chinese name. Okay. Maybe Teresa can help me. What kind of bird is that?
Nightingale.
Nightingale. Good job. Okay, you help me. Okay, nightingale. Okay, how about pseudogin? Nightingale. You don't know pseudogin? Okay. So anyhow, pseudogin?
Cuckoo.
Cuckoo. Okay. Nightingale and a cuckoo. Okay, good. Okay, I got it. Okay. So it's a story about nightingale and a cuckoo. So, you know, in those days there's no pet store. John Bosco usually would make his own cage. And how do you get the bird? You catch them. But birds fly, right? So you catch the young. Go to their nest and catch the young. That's how you get your pet bird in those days. 19th century Italy, countryside, no pet store. Pet store is a luxury, you know? Okay. So, nightingale. He saw there was a nightingale family, the mother with the baby, you know, all the baby. And then John Bosco was observing them, thinking, I will catch them so that they can be my pet. Wonderful. But one day there is a, what is the call again?
Cuckoo.
Came and ate the mom and the baby.
Oh.
Okay. So he occupied that place.
Oh yeah, so they do.
Okay, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And then later on, so John Bosco was really mad. Boom. And then suddenly there was a cat.
Oh.
Ate the cuckoo.
and then
John Bosco say, you deserve it. John Bosco was saying, you deserve it. You kill all the other birds. And then the poor nightingale, when the father came back, because now the enemy is dead, there was an egg from the cuckoo. And so the nightingale father was warming the egg, and then eventually a little cuckoo came out.
Oh,
and then the father was looking after that, you know, the widower. And then when it's big enough, then John Bosco got that and become the pet. And John Bosco, one time he was so busy, and for 2 days he forgot to feed the bird. And then when mom asked, have you feed the bird? Oh! And then he went to the cage, and it's too late already because the bird was so hungry, tried to get up from the cage, and so the head caught into the cage and choked and dead. And so Mother Margaret used the opportunity and say and give a lesson to John Bosco. You know, if you get things in unjust way, you cannot enjoy for a long time. The little cuckoo, you know, she is occupied the place that belongs to other people. And later on, there is disaster coming. So basically, it was for saying that if people inherit unjust inheritance, you know, usually they end up miserable. So he should use that as a lesson to John Bosco. Okay, that's one kind of bird. Another kind of bird, what is this one?
Hey, Jeff.
No idea?
You have no clue what is that? That's okay. So there's all kind of birds that are also catch again.
Lock. So he caught one of those, and then he asked Mother Margaret to cook it for him.
What?
And Mother Margaret said, I cannot do it. You put it as a pet. Okay. And then he said, okay, I will put it as a pet. So he didn't cook it. He just put it at the cat. What's the third again? Okay. What's the name again?
Lock.
Okay. L-A-R. Okay. Lock. Okay. So it's getting older and older, and so people like it. And one time, St. John Bosco.
Blue jay.
You know the blue jay. So he give one to that bird. He like it. And then ask for more. Another one. Ask for more. Another one. Ask for more. And more and more and more and more. And then suddenly, you know, is keep on doing that until suddenly collapse and die. Because never know how to stop. And so, and then Margaret keep her another lesson. You know, see, gluttony, that's the result of gluttony. If you're glutton, eating too much. So if you endow in your passion, you shorten your life. So that's the Margaret lesson for John Bosco. Now, because of catching bird, he almost lost his life. I tried to do a translation from this one. It's a Chinese story. One day, he and a few friends going to catch bird. And so there was a tree not far from home. And he found a nest. So he tried to get up there. But two children tried to get up. But only halfway, they are so tired. They fell down. But John Bosco was going so fast. From one to another, you know, finally, really careful, going to the branch, and then he go to the nest, and then he go to the bird, and the one bird in his pocket, another bird, four little bird, so he got all the bird on in his pocket already, and then now he's coming back, but now he was stuck up there, because I won't go into the detail, but he was stuck there for 15 minutes, wanted to get down, wasn't able to. And then eventually he was so tired and then he fell. And then when he fell, everybody thought he was dead, and so they ran away. Her friends, huh? They all ran away. But then eventually when they saw him sitting up, they went back and asked him, are you hurt? And then he said, I hope not. How about the birds? Have they dead? Are they okay? And then John Bosco would say, yeah, they are here. They are alive. And then he put out the bird. They make me suffer so much. They cost me a lot. So he gave the bird away to the children. And then went back home. But just a few steps, and then he got a tummy ache, and then he was shaking, and then had to sit down, and then slowly went back home. And then Joseph, his brother, saw him, you know, is also pale. What happened? I'm not feeling well. Tummy ache. Went back home, sleep. Margaret was really, really worried, asked the doctor to come. But the poor John Bosco, because mother was there, he wasn't there to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. He didn't say the whole truth. So the doctor wasn't able to diagnose properly. It's only later on, when he was alone with the doctor, then he told the whole truth. And the doctor said, why you didn't tell me that? You know, because my mother was there. So because the doctor wasn't able to diagnose properly right at the beginning, so it took him 3 months to recover from that injury. So finally, he loved bird, but also called him suffering. When he was around 10 years old, he caught a black bird. And then he had that in the cage. And then give it something to eat, teach it to sing, and it's a really smart black bird, so know how to sing. And so he loved that black bird so much, almost, you know, always sing about the black bird. And then when he was working, studying, recreation, always thinking about the black bird. But one day, after school, he wanted to go to the black bird, but saw the blood. The black bird is half. And who did that? The cat. The cat. So John also cried. Nobody can comfort him. He was so sad and sad and sad and sad. And then finally, Margaret said, "For a black bird and you cry like that, oh, you pity." And then he, like, waking up spiritually. He see the emptiness of worldly thing. And then so he make a resolution beyond his age. He make the resolution, let me finally translate into English. He make the resolution that he would never again attach his heart to earthly things. So that's his resolution when he was 10 years old. So that's about bird. Let's move on to sheep. So Pope Pius XI, the one who canonized St. John Bosco, actually said in his life, in St. John Bosco's life, the supernatural almost became the natural. And the extraordinary, ordinary. Because we move on, continue the life of St. John Bosco, there have been a lot of miracles in his lifetime. He could read people's mind. And also he had at least 40 prophetic dreams. And the first prophetic dream was when he was 9 years old. When he was 9 years old. So in the dream he saw himself in a lake, in a large playing field with a crowd of children. Some were laughing, others were playing. But not a few were cursing. And so St. John Bosco almost wanted to use force to stop them from committing sin. They jumped into their midst and stopped them, shouting, yelling at them to stop cursing, stop using bad language, stop blaspheming. But and then he saw a man in white appear and told John to place himself as leader over those boys. Of course, the man is Jesus himself. So he said to John Bosco, "You will have to win these friends of yours, not with blows, but with gentleness and kindness. So begin right now to show them that sin is ugly and virtue beautiful." So use gentleness. Patience is a virtue. So to use that. And John Bosco said, "I'm only a boy. I cannot talk to this youngster about religion." So, but at that moment, the fighting, shouting, cursing boys stopped, and the crowd of boys, they gathered about the white dress, the man dressed in white. And John Bosco asked the man, "But how can you order me to do something that looks so impossible?" And the man replied, "What seems so impossible, you must achieve by being obedient and by acquiring knowledge." And St. John Bosco say, "Where can I go to acquire knowledge?" And John Bosco say, and Jesus told him in the dream, "I will give you a teacher, and under her guidance, you will have wisdom. You will be a wise man. But without her, every wisdom become folly." And John Bosco asked him, "Who are you?" And Jesus answered him back and said that, "I am the son of her whom your mother has taught you to greet three times a day." And then John Bosco say, my mother told me, without her permission, I cannot talk to stranger. So can you tell me your name? My name, you can ask my mother. And then he saw, beside the man dressed in white, a beautiful lady. And then the lady just asked John Bosco to see. And then the children, they turn into wild animals. They turn into wild animals like goats, dogs, cats, and bears, all kinds of animals. And the lady said to John Bosco, this is your field. That is where you must work. Make yourself humble, stand fast, and strong. And what you will see happen to these animals, you will have to do for my children. And then the animals, they change into many lambs, the sheep. You know, then they bleed a welcome for the lady and for the son. So, really cute picture, huh? The sheep surrounding the son and the lady. So, and then John Bosco, in the dream, he start to cry. He want the lady to explain, what's that all mean? He wasn't understanding what is the meaning of all these things. But the lady, you know, touched the head of John Bosco and said, when the time come, you will understand. I think later on, as an old man, when he was on one of the trip, you know, because as an old man, he would also go to France, different places, to fundraise, to raise funds for the Basilica of Sacred Heart in Rome, because the Holy Father have a difficulty, have that basilica built, and he entrusted that project to St. John Bosco. But then because he loved the Pope, he really accept those big project. So I think in one of those occasion when he was with so many people, on one occasion he was touched to the core that he find that, you know, he finally understood that dream, in as an old man, what he saw in that dream. Anyhow, suddenly there seemed to be some noise, and then he woke up, and then he saw nothing anymore. And then so, but the amazing thing was that, you know, he was using his hand to fight, and then it seemed to have pain, and then the face, you know, the bad children hit his face, and it seemed to be still painful. And so, and everything that happened, that told him by the man and the woman, is still in his brain, and he couldn't fall asleep. So the next morning, he told the dream to the two brothers, and they laughed at him. And then he told that to the mother and the grandmother, and they have all different interpretation. So Joseph said, you will be a shepherd, so you will have goats and sheep, you know, and all kinds of animals. And then the mothers would say, who knows? Maybe John will become a priest. So Margaret got it right. And then Anthony was always, you know, he's always being nasty, right? Oh, maybe you will be, you know, the head of the gangster. and then the grandmother say, dream, ignore it. You know, it's just dream. So, anyhow, John Bosco was trying to ignore the dream, but he tried to ignore it. But in the year 1858, when he was in Rome and talking about the solution, the Pope actually was the one who commanded him to talk about that, and also to actually write that down, you know, that particular dream too, about what he had experienced. So after that dream, also John Bosco, perhaps because of the influence of that dream, that he had a desire to work for young boys. And so he borrowed some books from the priest, and he would read storybook to the boys in winter time, and they loved to listen. And before and after the reading, they will all make the sign of the cross and say, Hail Mary. So John Bosco reading is really good and the boys like it. But also John Bosco, you know, he realized that it's fine to have a reading story at winter time. But when the weather gets warmer, he needs to do something else for the boys. And so he resolved to learn the secret of tightrope walking, of magic tricks, of all kinds of things. But to do that, you have to attend the shows and to really observe how people are doing things. So, but Margaret had no money for him to watch the show. So what did he do? You know what he do, right? He know how to make bird cage, you know, catching bird, you know. So basically he was a bit like a pet store person, catching bird and sell them, you know, and bird cage, you know, get some herbs and give it to the people who sell drugs, you know, medicine, so that he was able to make money that way and buy ticket. And then when he was there, he was a really smart boy. He observed really carefully how they make the tight rope, walking on the tight rope. How do they turn around and jumping around, you know, walking with the hands. He learned all those skills really well. He observed carefully and practiced himself. And he mastered the skill. He juggled. He was able to do all kinds of magic tricks. He was able to discuss all the tricks by observing carefully. And some of those people, they even say, "Oh, I won't charge any money, but I can pull out your teeth without any pain." And usually they will have somebody that the person know pretend to be the patient and pretend to pull out teeth. And the people say, you know, "I won't take any money, but I will take any present. If anybody want to give me, I will accept that," and then they got the present. So but it's all fake. And so John Bosco also tried to observe how can they pull out teeth without any pain. So but one time when the man was saying that, a farmer, they got a tutorage, say, "Oh, I want to come. Can you pull out my tooth for me?" And then, but it's not the fake person. It's a true farmer. So and then John Bosco tried to observe, and the man knew John Bosco watching him, so he gave a nasty look. But actually, it was like he didn't have any skill at all. So he actually just used his finger to pull out the teeth, and the farmer was really painful. And then he just suck his mouth and get him one side, give him some money, keep quiet, and go. And John Bosco saw all this and knew it was just a fake, you know, it's not genuine. So he was able to discover even the fake one. And people get too noisy, you know, people were clapping, you know, and so people think that it was true, it was genuine, but it was a fake one. So anyhow, John Bosco was able to observe all those tricks and he was able to perform. So that's how he started his a little apostolic with the young people, by telling them story in winter time and summertime. Sometimes he do performance for 2 and 3 hours. But he was not a usual performer. Before his final performance, he would stop and take out the rosary and have everybody pray the rosary with him. Or he may repeat the sermon he heard in the morning from the church. He would be a little preacher. And so he would have the people come to see the performance, but he would stop and have everybody pray or listen to the sermon until he got the final performance. So in that way he attract people to come close to Jesus. So as a young boy, that's how he started his work for the young people. But of course later on, more to come. Later on it will hear about that. On the one hand, he helped young people, he gathered them. On the other hand, he also had to struggle about his education. Education for him is a big struggle because the oldest man in the family was Anthony. And you know, Anthony was still a really angry person at that time. So he would not like John Bosco to study at all. And so there had been a lot of conflict at home. So bad that, you know, Margaret had to send John Bosco away so that he could pursue the study. And so John Bosco would be in different place, and we'll talk about his journey to study, so that he could prepare himself eventually to enter the seminary. So And then he also formed a club of young boys that have lots of fun together, but also in a way that is moral, that is also religious. So we will hear more about that next time. Okay, I will stop here. It's 35 minutes already.